You know, on a nice June evening like this, there's a million and one other things that we could be occupying ourselves with, but it's important that we be here, that we can worship the one true and living God, the God that we love and the God that loves us and has promised us that beautiful home in heaven that we just sang about. We had a good afternoon at the Hull's Apples, and we appreciate them opening up their home, and it's good to spend time with those of like precious faith. I just wish there had been enough food, but you know, you just can't have everything that you want. Well, it's possible, you know, for us to make effective things of no effect. For example, an unread map. Many years ago, when Ryan was just a little baby, we traveled from Wisconsin back home to Indiana for a visit. And on our way back to Wisconsin, I had a shortcut. Well, at one point in that shortcut, I must have taken the wrong turn because we were driving along and I'm going, boy, this doesn't look very familiar. But I didn't get that map out of the glove box and read it like I should have. So I did about 100 miles before I decided it was time to turn around and look at the map. So I can guarantee you an unread map is an effective thing that is of no effect when you don't read it. Or an uncharged battery. When Dawn and I were mowing the grass here Friday, we got into the truck to leave and turned the key and it just clicked. Click, click, click. So had to call Mom and Spencer and had to come and rescue us and give us a jump. So I guarantee you an uncharged battery is of no effect. Or an unheated recipe. You know, if you certain recipes you got to follow right exactly to the T, otherwise it's not going to turn out very well. Well, the Bible is filled with many, many effective things. And if we're not very careful, they can be made of no effect. And we just read about one in Matthew chapter 15, where the Pharisees and so forth had, through their traditions, made the word of God of no effect. In fact, Jesus says, you have made the commandment of God no effect by your tradition. So that's going to be the premise of our lesson here this evening. The fact that we can make effective things of no effect. Well, one of the effective things that we can make of no effect is the Word of God itself. You know, the Word of God is truth. John 17 and verse 17. As we read from the Hebrew letter this morning, it's alive and it's active, it's powerful. It's the power of God unto salvation, Paul said in Romans chapter 1. In James 1 in verse 21, James tells us to receive with meekness the implanted word. Why? Because it's able to save our souls. So the word of God is effective. But when we look out in the world today, what do we see? We see the vast majority of people are lost. They're not saved. So what's the problem? Is God's word somehow ineffective? Well, I would suggest to you that God's word has been made of no effect by the things that people do. How does that take place? Well, one is lack of faith in the Bible as God's word. The vast majority of people don't really believe that the Bible is a revelation from God. But Paul said it was in 2 Timothy chapter 3, a very familiar passage to us, all scripture. I take that to mean both the Old and the New Testaments are given by inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. But because of a lack of faith in the Bible as God's word, for most people, that word is of no effect. Well, the Word of God can also become ineffective because of ignorance of the Bible's teaching. Turn over to the Roman letter, chapter 10. That was the case with the Jews. In Romans 10, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God in this dispensation is revealed where? It's revealed in the gospel, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. But they were ignorant of the gospel. They were willingly ignorant and sought to establish their own righteousness through keeping of the law. So in that regard, then, they made God's word of no effect. Over in Matthew 13, we can read of some who made God's word of no effect because of their hardness of their hearts. In Matthew 13, beginning in verse 13, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." If there were any people on earth that should have known who Jesus was and what he was all about, it was the Jewish nation. They had the entire revelation of the Old Testament at hand. They were ones who studied that revelation, who knew it. But unfortunately, their hearts were hard, and they rejected their own Savior. Also, we can make the word of God of no effect by following the traditions of men. We just read that from Matthew 15, verses 1 through 6. And Jesus goes on in that very same passage and talks about that because they had done that, their worship was vain. Their worship was empty because of the way they God's word. So we need to ask ourselves, do we truly, truly use God's word as our only guide? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, Peter said. And certainly that has to be the case in order for God's word to be effective for us. You have to excuse me. There's something about this pulpit that makes my allergies run. Well, another thing that we can make ineffective is Christ himself. Think about the power of Christ. In John 1, beginning in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." In Hebrews 11 and verse 3, he made the entire material universe from what? From a vast storehouse of raw materials? No, he made it from nothing. I can't even begin to imagine that power. So it's no wonder that Paul calls him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But unfortunately, we can make Christ of no effect. Well, how can we do that? Well, ways we can do that, for example, are seeking to justify ourselves in law keeping. That's what the Jews were guilty of, and that's unfortunately what some Christians were even guilty of, as Paul wrote to them in the letter to the Galatians. In Galatians 2 and verse 21, Paul said, "If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." He's become of no effect. In that same epistle, chapter 5 and verse 4, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace." Now, I'm not saying that obedience is not important. Obedience is critical. But just mere obedience in and of itself is not going to save us. Our entire heart, mind, body, and soul has to be in our service to God. Well, another way we can make Christ of no effect is when we follow the doctrines of men. We've already been over that a couple times already in this sermon. "In vain they worship me," Jesus said, "teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So we need to constantly examine what we teach and what we practice and make sure that we can go to book, chapter, and verse in the right context and put our finger on the things that we teach and the things that we practice. And then, unfortunately, we can make Christ of no effect by just refusing to listen to him. In Hebrews 12 and verse 25, the Hebrew writer says this. He says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him who speaks from heaven. In that same epistle, in the first chapter, the first couple of verses, Jesus is God's appointed spokesman in the last dispensation of time for this universe. In the transfiguration on the mount, remember what God said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." He has all authority, both in heaven and on earth. And if we're truly going to be a friend of Jesus, then we have to do whatsoever he commands. John chapter 15 and verse 14. He has become the author of eternal salvation to who? Unto all them that obey him. So let us not refuse to listen to him. If we're not taking up our cross every day and following him, he does us no good whatsoever. Just think about it on the day of judgment. If we're to stand there and say, "Well, I made Christ of no effect by these things that I've done," how sad we will be. How terrified we will be. But another thing we can make of no effect is the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is powerful, just as Christ himself is powerful. In Ephesians 2 and verse 16, we are told by Paul that we are reconciled to God in one body through the cross. But we can make that cross of no effect. One way is in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 17 and verse 18, by preaching the wisdom of men rather than the power of God. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17, Paul said, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Now notice, not with wisdom of words or men's wisdom. Why? Lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. You know, the thing that drives me up the wall most about these TV preachers is that they spend very little time talking about the Word of God, and they're talking about everything else under the sun but the Word of God. So they're speaking the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of men, and in the process are making the cross of Christ of no effect. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 to 17, Jesus' death was necessary to implement the New Testament. The New Testament is the final will and testament of Jesus Christ. Everybody knows that someone's will doesn't go into effect until what takes place? Until a death takes place. So the death of Christ was necessary for the New Testament to come into effect. So anytime we deviate from the gospel of Christ, as revealed in the New Testament, we make the cross of Christ of no effect. Again, imagine yourself there on the day of judgment, and you've ignored the Word of God. You've made the cross of Christ of no effect. What a tragic thing that will be. Well, another thing that we can make of no effect, and it's our final point for the lesson, is that we can make God's promises of no effect. God cannot lie, Titus 1 and verse 2, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. And he's promised us eternal life. In fact, he made this promise to us before time even began, before he even created us. But we can make God's promises of no effect. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, Paul said, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." It's so important to put on Christ because, as Peter said in Acts 4 and verse 12, there's salvation in no other name under heaven than his name. It's interesting to me when you look at the book of Acts in that first sermon, when those first people on the day of Pentecost obeyed the gospel. Remember, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people want to make a big mystery out of that, but I think it's very simple. The gift of the Holy Spirit was salvation. And in verse 39, after talking about them receiving that gift, he says, "For the promise," or the promise of that gift, "is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So if we haven't been baptized into Christ, all of the great and grand promises that God has for his creation, the ultimate of his creation, mankind, are made totally of no effect. We've totally voided them by not being obedient to the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, those that gladly receive God's word on that first Pentecost after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, those that gladly received God's word were baptized, and the Lord added them to the church. They were saved, Acts 2 and verse 47. But what church did the Lord add them to? Did he add them to the Methodist church or the Lutheran church or something of that nature? No, the only church in existence was the church that the Lord promised to build. The only church in existence was the church which he purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28, the church of Christ. And I'm not talking about the church in that sense in any way, shape, or form, in a denominational sense. It was the church of Christ. He built it. He purchased it with his own blood. In fact, in Matthew 15 and verse 13, any other church, any other institution that has not been built by the Lord is going to be uprooted on that great and glorious judgment day. So denominationalism makes God's promises of no effect. Well, God's promise of eternal life is reserved for those who obey the gospel and remain faithful. So we can make God's promises of no effect through our unfaithfulness. Well, how can we do that? There are several ways. We can do that by having an evil heart of unbelief. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 3, and the Hebrew writer writes about that, beginning in verse 12. And this should be something that should jog our memories very well, since we're studying the book of Exodus right now. The Hebrew writer writes in verse 12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ." Now notice, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we need to constantly look in the mirror, look in that perfect law of liberty, and examine ourselves to make sure we're not guilty of having an evil heart of unbelief. But we can also make God's promises of no effect by failing to discharge our reasonable service. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, what is our reasonable service? To present our bodies a living sacrifice, to be not conformed, excuse me, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And of course, that takes place through the Word of God. So let's make sure that we are discharging our reasonable service. Well, we can also make God's promises of no effect by not taking up our cross daily. The Christian religion is a 24/7, 365 day a year proposition. It's not when we just feel like doing that right. We have to do it even when we don't feel like we're in the mood for it, when we feel that the things of life are against us. So we have to take up our cross daily. But also we can make the cross of, or the promises of God of no effect by not abounding in the work of the Lord. We just can't sit idly on our backsides and think that we're going to make it to heaven. As I'm fond of saying, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And one of the acts of preparation is abounding in the work of the Lord. It's not only going to help us, but it's going to help others as we seek to teach them the gospel. It's going to help other members of the congregation as we seek to build them up and edify them. Well, we can also make God's promises of no effect but by not putting to death our members, which are on the earth. You know, we live in a society that becomes more evil with each passing day. And I'm amazed at sometimes at the amount of evil that we can so easily pipe into our, even into our own homes through the TV and the internet. I hate to mention it, but pornography is a good example of this. I just can't imagine if that would have been available when I was a teenager and unsupervised. It is just so easily available today. So we need to put to death our members which are on earth. Whatever lust of the flesh happen to be our weaknesses, we need to focus in on them and making sure that we are relying on God so that we can overcome them. But also we can make God's promises of no effect by not considering the interests of others. So it's not just evil things like pornography that can get us. It can be things like just not showing the care and the concern for others that we need to be showing. In Philippians chapter 2, it talks about the humility of Christ. If there was ever anybody that put others first, it was Jesus Christ. I mean, just think about it. When he came to earth, considering who he was, he deserved to live in the greatest and most palatial palace that the earth could offer. He deserved to have thousands of servants waiting on him hand and foot 24 hours a day, but he had none of that. And why did he do it? Because he put our interests over his own. And we need to put the interests of others before our own interests. But not only that, we can make God's promises of no effect by not liberally sharing with all men. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13, Paul commended the Corinthian brethren for their liberal sharing with all men. And we need to imitate that. We sometimes don't appreciate just how blessed we are in this nation. I wish that all of us could go to a place like the Philippines sometime and see the way many other people in this world live, where they have almost absolutely nothing. And we need to share the bounty that God has blessed us with. We need to realize those blessings that we have, they didn't come from our own ingenuity. They came as a result of God blessing us, and we need to share that with others. We need to remember Matthew 25, 31 to 46, that part of the criteria by which we will be judged is how we have done that. And then finally, we can make God's promises of no effect by not remaining faithful even unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Now, I think what that passage means is that even if we are called on to die for the faith, and that's certainly true, even if we are called on to die by faith, we need to do so. But we also need to be faithful even unto the time we die, even if we die of natural causes, because that's the kind of service that God requires of us. And that's the kind of service that will make our life the happiest life possible on this earth. So as we bring our lesson to a close, we all need to ask ourselves, am I making the effective things of God of no effect by the way I'm behaving? But we need to take advantage of God's effective things today. In the scripture, the day of salvation is always today. And I like this scripture in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is salvation. If you're here tonight and you've not obeyed the gospel, now is the time. Don't leave this building having not obeyed the gospel. Because if you do, and the day of judgment comes, you're going to be lost. But if you just simply submit to Christ and be baptized into Christ, he'll add you to his church, the body of the saved, and you'll have the hope of heaven when you leave this building tonight. And if you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you've been doing things that are making the things of God of no effect, we encourage you tonight to make yourself right with God, to start making the effective things of God effective in your life. If you're in any way subject to the invitation, we bid you come while we stand and sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord